This is Audible.
Brilliance Audio presents the unabridged recording of Barely Breathing by Rebecca Donovan, performed by Kate Rudd. 23. Boundaries. Feeling any better? Sarah asked at breakfast the next morning. Her parents had already left for work, so it was just the two of us. I shook my head, still haunted by the compromising position I'd caught my mother and Jonathan in the night before. I don't know how I'm ever going to look at either of them again, I groaned. Sarah laughed, overly amused by my trauma. Sarah, I saw his ass, his naked ass, on top of my mother. I may seriously need to go back to therapy after seeing that. I flopped my head onto my folded arms. I bet he has an amazing ass, Sarah mused dreamily, the smile consuming her entire face. I peered up at her, appalled, with my cheeks scarlet. My reaction only made her laugh harder. I don't think I've laughed this hard since you tripped in front of those college guys in California. Sarah held her stomach. You love seeing me tortured and humiliated, I sulked. Great friend you are. Stop, Sarah chuckled, unable to hide her smile. It is funny, really. Walking in on my mother and her boyfriend? Sure, it may be horrifyingly hysterical, but he was supposed to break up with her. This is so not good. They made up, Sarah offered with a shrug. Couples fight and make up all the time. What's the big deal? He's leaving to go to grad school at USC, I explained. My mother's in love with him. Does she know? Yes, I told her, but she wants to be with him until he leaves. Why is that so bad? It was obvious she didn't understand my concern. I'll be gone when he leaves, I continued. And you're worried about her being alone? I nodded, biting my lip to keep the tears from forming. Fear ate at the pit of my stomach as I wondered what my mother would do in her isolated misery. I didn't want her to have to go through it without me. Sarah and I stopped by the house first thing in the morning to pick up my books. Thankfully, the house was empty. I avoided my mother and Jonathan that entire day, staying in my room out of their sight. And I thought I'd timed it perfectly when I left for school the next morning, emerging from my room right after my mother had pulled out of the driveway. But as I headed down the stairs, I heard the refrigerator door close and realized Jonathan was still home. I paused in frustration. He was never home when I left for school. I kept walking down the stairs and straight out the door, shutting it behind me just as I heard him call, "Emma!" I picked up my pace, not wanting to see him, forget about talk to him. Jonathan stepped out the front door with a coffee in his hand and a laptop bag hanging from his shoulder. He glanced in my direction as I unlocked my car, hesitating slightly. When I avoided eye contact and slipped into my car, he continued to his truck. I turned the key in the ignition and nothing happened. "No way," I grunted, pumping the gas and turning the key again. The car didn't even make an attempt to start. I collapsed in my seat, banging my hands on the steering wheel. Jonathan braked at the end of the driveway. I remained in my car, ignoring him, grumbling profanities under my breath. This was the last thing I needed this morning. He tapped on my window, forcing me to roll it down.
"You okay?"
"No," I huffed, still unable to look at him. "My car won't start."
"I'll give you a ride," he responded. "Then I'll take a look at it later."
I hesitated, glancing at my watch. I knew Sarah and Evan were already on their way to school, and it didn't make sense to have them come all the way out here to get me.
"Please, just let me drive you to school,"
Jonathan repeated when I didn't answer. "Fine," I grumbled. I opened my car door and slammed it in frustration. I tossed my book bag on the floor of his passenger side before pulling myself up onto the seat. I shut the door and fastened my seatbelt, determined to ignore him. We drove down the street and out of the neighborhood without a word.
Can we talk about it?
Jonathan finally pleaded, turning down the radio when the tense silence became too much.
No, I snapped. I definitely do not want to talk about it.
But after only 10 seconds, I turned toward him and practically yelled, Why are you doing this to her, Jonathan? I don't understand.
I know, he stuttered. I couldn't end it. I knew it would make things worse.
So you'd rather torture her by making her fall more in love with you so you can dump her right before you leave? That's real great, I shot back, my anger rising with each word.
Emma, please don't be mad at me, he begged. That's not what I want, really. I just wasn't ready.
Prolonging the inevitable isn't helping her, I lectured sternly. It's torturing her. You can't protect her forever. You're coddling her.
And you aren't, he rebutted,
glancing at me out of the corner of his eye. I opened my mouth to defend myself, but nothing came out. In truth, I didn't really know what he meant. He continued, his voice growing stronger.
Emma, you clean up after her when she throws a fit. You comfort her when she's irresponsible. And the other night she basically accused you of ruining her life. You're protecting her as much as I am.
I continued to stare.
I'm sorry, he said, his tone softening. I shouldn't have said that.
I let his words sink in. He pulled into the parking lot of the school, stopping alongside the walkway that wrapped around the building. Putting the truck in park, he turned toward me. His brown eyes were heavy with apology.
So how do we fix this?
I questioned glumly. Besides having sex with her. The words flew out of my mouth before I could catch them, delivered with a bite that I didn't anticipate. Jonathan stammered, shock flashing across his eyes.
You should never have seen that. I'm so sorry.
I clenched my teeth and stared at the floor, more disturbed by his actions than I could rationalize as heat rushed through my chest.
So now what? You're right, he answered firmly. I have to end things with her.
I flipped my eyes toward him, not convinced he meant it.
Should I still wait until after her birthday?
I groaned. I hadn't thought of that. I don't know. Our eyes connected in deliberation until I realized I was lingering too long and blinked away. Thanks for the ride. I reached down to pick up my backpack and it struck me. My sweater!
Huh?
Jonathan didn't follow. What were you doing with my sweater? I demanded. Jonathan took in my expression.
I found it on the chair on the front porch when I was leaving for work a while ago. I thought it was Rachel's. I'd honestly forgotten I had it.
Oh, I replied, my cheeks reddening at my accusatory tone. What was I really insinuating anyway? Maybe all this drama was making me overreact. I reached for the door handle, spotting Evan a few rows away, shutting his car door. I smiled at the sight of him. Then Annalise appeared, shutting the passenger door. My heart froze and my smile disappeared.
Are you okay?
Jonathan asked, noticing the change. I remained motionless, at a loss for words.
Emma?
Yeah, I'm fine, I choked, gripping the strap of my backpack. I opened the door.
Emma!
Jonathan stopped me before I could hop down. His eyes held me captive long enough to confess.
She's not the reason I decided to stay. Emma?
Evan hollered as I was about to ask what he meant. I hesitated for a second, but knew I had to leave. Thanks, I choked, barely able to form words. I hopped down from the truck and shut the door behind me. As Jonathan drove off, Evan emerged from behind the truck. His eyes tightened.
Was that Jonathan?
He found my hand and securely laced his fingers through mine. My car wouldn't start, I explained, trying to ignore Annalise on the other side of him.
Want me to take a look at it later?
That's okay, I replied. Jonathan said he would, but thanks. Evan nodded slightly, his eyes following Jonathan's truck as it pulled onto the street. "Hi, Emma," Annalise chirped, poking her head around to flash me her blinding smile. "Hi, Annalise," I replied, acknowledging her impassively. "Where's your car?"
"Evan and I are doing some work for Vivian after school, so we thought it made sense for him to drive me," she announced.
As I listened, my feet faltered. Evan clearly saw the stunned expression on my face. "That's great," I replied flatly. Annalise went her separate way toward the junior lockers as Evan continued toward mine.
"You're upset," Evan noted as soon as Annalise was out of earshot.
"No," I mumbled, not looking at him. "I'm just flustered because of my car."
"Good morning," Sarah interrupted. "How are you?"
Her eyes flipped from me to Evan and she pressed her lips together.
I see that you're not into mornings. I'll talk to you later."
She nodded knowingly and took off to class. I pulled my books from my locker, unable to face Evan without giving away just how much his time with Annalise bothered me.
You don't have to.
"I have to go to class," I muttered, brushing past him quickly. This morning sucked. I just wanted this day to be over, and it had barely begun.
Sarah was waiting for me around the corner. "I'm coming over tonight. We're talking about this whole Annalise situation."
"Okay," I sighed, knowing I needed it.
The day didn't get any better when Annalise plopped her fluffy ass down at our table for lunch. Sarah eyed her in disbelief, like she'd trampled over all sorts of boundaries. Sarah opened her mouth to say something, but I shot her a pleading look and begged in a whisper, "Don't."
"You sure?"
she questioned incredulously. I nodded, just as Evan sat down between me and Annalise. The awkward silence lingered until Annalise broke it with,
"This food looks better than Mrs. Timmons' dinner last night, huh?"
She let out a light laugh.
"That was the strangest version of chicken I've ever seen. You should have seen it, Emma. I think it was gray. Right, Evan?"
I couldn't move. I knew Evan was watching me, but I remained still.
"What dinner?"
Sarah instigated, staring at me, silently begging me to speak up.
"Oh, one of those business dinner thingies," Annalise gushed with a nervous laugh, realizing she must have said something wrong.
"What did you think of it?" I asked, feigning curiosity with a strained smile. Annalise hesitated, probably trying to decide if I was sincere or about to rip her head off.
"It was actually pretty nice. Stuart and Vivian are so sweet, so they made it easy. And Evan can talk to anyone, and he introduced me to a lot of people, so it wasn't as bad as I feared it would be. We ended up having a really great time."
I stood from the table and stormed out of the cafeteria. I'd barely made it to the hall when Evan caught up with me.
"It was just a stupid dinner for my father's firm," Evan explained in a rush.
"Yep," I responded flatly and kept walking, not caring if he was next to me or not. I remained stoic on the outside, but my insides were squirming. I thought I was about to be sick.
Stop, he begged. "Please, just listen."
I turned abruptly and gave him my full and cold attention. He drew back when he saw the disconnect in my eyes.
"My mother wanted Laura to meet some potential clients affiliated with my father's firm,"
he explained calmly.
"Annalise just came along with her mother. It's not as bad as it sounds."
I turned and started walking again, choking on the fumes of anger that cut off all logic and rational thought to my head. I could only feel, not think, and I was afraid if I opened my mouth I would regret anything I said.
"Besides, you hate those dinners,"
Evan hollered after me. I spun around.
"So did you,"
I bit back and rushed off, leaving him behind.
"Hey, Emma,"
Jill said from beside my locker as I forcefully pulled the books from the top shelf, grumbling to myself about how I couldn't believe Evan had taken Annalise to a firm dinner.
"How's Rachel?"
I whipped my head to the side. It took every ounce of willpower I had not to snap at her, to tell her to mind her own business. But I swallowed the anger and said,
"Fine." "We never told anyone about the drinking," she assured me.
Her voice was low. She was careful not to be overheard. Her words struck me as odd. My eyes twitched, questioning. Her face filled with sympathy. Then it hit me. Oh, my God, she thinks my mother's an alcoholic. Thanks, I replied quickly, needing to look away as the heat crept across my face. We shouldn't have done what we did, she continued, Casey and me. I'm sorry about that.
Yes, sir, I muttered, my stomach twisting in knots.
If you ever need to talk, she said consolingly, making me want to turn from her and run as fast as I could.
Yep, I answered shortly. See you in practice. I have to get to class.
Oh, yeah, sure, she replied uncomfortably, her cheeks slightly pink. I walked away with my head down so people wouldn't notice how red I was. I couldn't live in denial any longer. And it took Jill's words of solace to snap me out of it. Despite my mother's assurances that she was fine, she wasn't. And it was time I faced the truth. I had wanted to believe her so much that I'd convinced myself that she only drank to excess when she was upset or sad. And that was okay. That was okay? What was wrong with me? Hi, girls. My mother greeted us cheerily from the kitchen when Sarah and I arrived after practice. Hi, Rachel. Sarah replied, setting her bag near the bottom of the stairs and walking into the kitchen. I followed her, suddenly afraid to face my mother. It was like I was seeing her for the first time. Noticing the wine glass next to her on the counter as she cut vegetables, the sight of it made my chest hurt. She picked up the glass and took a sip. Are you staying for dinner? I'm not staying long, Sarah told her. I gave Emma a ride home and we're just going to talk for a while before I go. Oh, okay. My mother responded. Jonathan went to pick up a new battery for your car. Great, I answered in a flat tone. Well, we'll be upstairs. Sarah, my mother called as we were about to leave the kitchen. It's my birthday on Saturday, and I'm having a few friends over. I thought it would be nice if you came over, too, you know, for Emily. I think we're just going to play poker and listen to music. Sure, that sounds great, Sarah agreed. Really? My mother's eyes lit up. I'm happy you'll be there. I really want it to be fun. It will be, Sarah assured her. If you want me to bring anything or do anything to help, let me know. I will. My mother beamed. It became evident to me just how important this party was to her. And with everything that had gone on the last few days, we hadn't really talked much about it. Despite everything, all I really wanted was for her to be happy. I think Evan has a poker table we could borrow, I added. That would be amazing, she said, glowing. Thanks. Sure, I replied with a small smile before following Sarah up the stairs. As I entered my room, I texted, Wait till after her birthday, and don't worry about me. I unzipped my jacket and tossed it on the chair at my desk while Sarah shut the door and settled on my bed. My phone beeped, and Jonathan responded with, Okay, but I do. Can't help it. My cheeks flushed with heat, and I stuffed the phone in my jacket pocket. Okay, so you have to say something to him, Sarah began before I could even sit down. You have to tell him that he can't hang out with her anymore. I started to worry about what potential disasters awaited us at my mother's party. How Sarah and Evan would react at the sight of it. Maybe she'd just get giddy drunk, like she sometimes did, and talk too loudly, spewing semi-embarrassing comments. I could live with that. Emma! What? I redirected my focus. The invasion of Annalise, Sarah stressed. What's going on with you? Have you heard a single word I've said? Yes, I replied. I need to set boundaries. No, she corrected me sternly. Evan needs to set boundaries. He can't have an obsessed girl doting on him all over the place and expect you to be the loving girlfriend who's pretending nothing's happening. Right, I agreed without the gusto Sarah was looking for. She gawked at me disapprovingly. But what if I'm overreacting? I asked quietly, lying on my bed next to her. Overreacting? The whole school is talking about them. They went to a party together last Friday. She's over at his house all of the time, and he drives her to school. They look more like a... Okay, I interrupted, not needing the detailed visual. I get it. I'll talk to him.
Why do I feel like I'm talking you into this?
She questioned me in concern.
Do you not remember being blindsided at lunch today? I saw the look on your face when she brought up the dinner.
Just the mention of it made me clench my teeth.
Yes, I'll talk to him.
Okay, I have to go. My mom's waiting on me for dinner. I'll see you tomorrow, Sarah said, grabbing her things and opening the door.
Evan appeared at the top of the stairs. Sarah stopped short.
Hi, Evan.
Hi, Sarah, he replied.
She scooted past him and flashed me a teeth-bared, good luck look as she disappeared down the stairs.
Evan remained outside of my room, hesitating at the sight of me.
Hi,
he said quietly, shutting the door behind him.
Hi,
I replied, barely audible.
I sat against the headboard, pulling a pillow onto my lap.
Evan sat down on the end of my bed. The strain between us suffocated me.
I should have invited you to the dinner, Evan began. I guess I know how much you hate them, but I should have given you the choice.
It's not just the dinner, I returned, letting out a distraught breath. You've been spending a lot of time with her, and I don't like it. It's that simple.
Em, I don't see her like that, I swear. She's like a little sister to me.
He silently pleaded for me to believe him.
You may feel that way about her, but Evan, she has a thing for you. You have to know that.
I know, he sighed. It's not what I meant to happen. I just wanted to make her feel welcome, being new and everything. I know how hard it can be.
His words drifted through me and swelled my heart. I knew he meant it because that's exactly who he was. Evan, you're the most thoughtful person I've ever known, and I love you for that, but you need to set boundaries with her.
I will,
he agreed, moving closer.
So, did you just say that you still love me?
He teased, continuing to scoot along the bed until he was next to me.
Yes, I battled to hide my grin. Some sunshiny sprite is not Emma,
Evan balked in surprise. Sorry, I smirked. She's nice, I just... I was interrupted by the warmth of his mouth pressed against mine, and suddenly she wasn't important anymore. I wrapped my arms around his neck and pulled him toward me, sinking down along my headboard so that I was lying on my back as he pulled the pillow off of my lap. Evan continued to find my lips, trailing his mouth along my neck and sliding his hand across my stomach to the small of my back, positioning himself over me. I relaxed my knees as he lowered himself onto me, my legs wrapping around him. Our breathing quickened as our kisses became more frantic. I ran my hands along the tight, lean muscles of his back, gripping the end of his shirt, sliding it up. My door squeaked open.
Your car's...
Evan rolled over quickly to sit. I pushed myself up, smoothing the back of my hair, staring at Jonathan's wide eyes and open mouth.
Sorry, should have knocked,
he said in a single breath and shut the door.
Boundaries?
Evan stressed from beside me.
Yeah,
I breathed, staring at the door. 24.
Happy birthday.
Should I be worried? I asked under my breath as my mother danced around the kitchen, pulling bowls onto the counter, dumping bags of chips and spooning containers of dip into them.
Honestly?
Jonathan asked from beside me, watching the same spectacle.
Of course,
I replied, feeling stressed.
Probably.
His honesty made my stomach churn.
That's what I thought,
I exhaled in defeat.
Hi!
Sarah greeted me joyfully as she opened the front door. I turned toward her, covering the worry with a smile.
Hi,
I responded.
Sarah,
my mother exclaimed, brushing past me to give Sarah a hug.
Happy birthday, Rachel,
Sarah said, hugging her in return while eyeing me in shock over her shoulder. I shrugged in response.
I brought you something,
Sarah told her upon being released. She opened her bag and pulled out a neatly wrapped package about the size of a deck of cards. "You're so sweet." My mother opened it without hesitation and removed a necklace from the box. She held the delicate silver chain in front of her. "It's beautiful, thank you."
"You're welcome," Sarah replied, taking off her jacket.
"Sarah, you must know how to cook," my mother insisted, fastening the chain around her neck.
"Not really," Sarah confessed. "My mother's tried to encourage it, but it hasn't taken yet."
"What's with you guys?" My mother shook her head. She returned to the kitchen, where she proceeded to pull ingredients out of the refrigerator. "I'm going to have to give Anna a hard time about this. What are you going to do when you go to college?"
There was a knock at the door. Jonathan went to open it as Sarah and I took the bowls of chips into the living room. Jared entered, carrying a bottle of wine with a bow around it. I stopped short at the sight of it.
"Well, hello," my mother greeted him with a smile.
"Rachel, this is Jared," Sarah said, introducing him and slipping her arm through his.
"Happy birthday," he said, presenting the bottle to my mother.
"My favorite," she gushed, taking the bottle from him. "Thank you."
"Where's Evan?" I asked, scanning the driveway. When I didn't see any sign of him, I shut the door.
"He drove separately," Jared explained, following after my mother and Sarah toward the kitchen. "He should be here any second."
I remained in the foyer, hoping Evan would arrive soon, and not wanting to go anywhere near the kitchen in fear that I'd be recruited to cook something.
"Are you friends with Evan?" my mother asked, laying tortillas on a griddle.
"He's my brother,"
Jared explained, standing in the kitchen doorway. "I would never have guessed that," my mother replied, eyeing his broader frame and blonde hair flipped out around his ears.
"You look as much alike as Emily and me."
She let out a laugh, making Jared smile.
"So you must know how to cook."
"Not at all,"
Jared confessed, glancing at Sarah, obviously not sure what to make of my mother.
"My brother and I are pretty opposite in just about everything. Is there anything else I can do to help?"
"Do you know how to make margaritas?"
"That I can help with,"
Jared replied, continuing into the kitchen.
"Great," I muttered under my breath.
The door opened with a knock, and Evan entered with the poker table.
"Let me help you with that,"
Jonathan offered, appearing from the living room to take the table. Evan followed him with folding chairs in each hand.
"Finally," my mother exclaimed. "Evan, please come help me cook these quesadillas. You and I appear to be the only ones who have any talent in the kitchen."
"Jared has talent," Sarah said defensively. "It's just not in the kitchen, that's all."
"Oh, so what room are we talking about?" my mother smirked.
"The bedroom."
"We did not just go there,"
Jared blurted in disbelief, looking from my mother to Sarah. Sarah started laughing, and I stared wide-eyed in shock at my mother's inappropriate candor, wondering if she'd already started drinking. Evan returned to the kitchen after hanging up his jacket.
Okay. So what do you want me to do?"
he asked, having no idea what he'd just walked in on.
"Flip them when they're ready," she instructed, handing Evan the spatula. "Want a drink?"
"I think I might need one," Jared interjected.
My mother pulled two glasses from the cabinet, filled them with ice, and held them out for Jared to fill with the margarita blend he'd created. She handed one glass over and held up hers with a smirk.
"To being talented."
Jared raised his eyebrows in shock and clinked her glass.
"Hey, I want in on this," Sarah insisted, filling another glass to tap with theirs.
I tried to keep from having heart failure as I watched my mother quickly drain half of her glass. I realized I had to prepare myself. This was about to happen.
"You okay?"
Jonathan asked, passing me as he carried in more folding chairs from the porch and set them around the poker table.
"Not until tomorrow morning," I muttered, deciding to follow him to help set up the chairs.
"Emily, would you put on some music?"
my mother hollered from the kitchen, although there was no need to yell since I could hear every word they were saying.
"Sure," I replied.
I flipped through the CD collection, not finding anything I would deem party-worthy.
"Here,"
Jonathan offered, handing me his iPod.
"There's a playlist on there for Rachel's party."
"Thanks," I said, accepting the iPod and plugging it into the wire attached to the stereo. I scrolled to the Rachel's Party playlist. My mother hollered in excitement from the kitchen when the first song came on. "Perfect, Emily!" she praised. I was about to explain that it wasn't my selection when Jonathan stopped me.
"Just let her think it was you."
"Okay." I shrugged, not understanding why it mattered. About half an hour later, the door opened and six people let themselves in, carrying brown bags filled with alcohol and snacks.
"Is this where the party is?"
a guy with a tightly trimmed beard asked, peeking into the kitchen. He opened his arms when my mother squealed in excitement and rushed toward him, wrapping her arms around his neck while kissing him on the cheek.
"Happy birthday, Rach," he said,
kissing her cheek in return. She hugged each person, directing them to hang up their coats and instructing them to place their beers in the cooler on the porch. She was so excited. I tried to let the worry go and be happy for her. This was her birthday, after all.
"We brought the other poker table and chairs,"
one of the guys announced, popping open a can of beer after returning from the porch. We had to introduce ourselves, since my mother was too preoccupied pouring margaritas for the two women she'd dragged into the kitchen.
"Wow, Emily," a woman named Sharon noted upon meeting me. "I can't believe how much you've grown up."
"Thanks," I responded, studying the woman who obviously knew me. Her voice was crackly from too many years of smoking, and her face was etched with lines from a life that had not been kind to her. She wore her curly black hair long over her shoulders. Her dark eyes were heavily lined in black and layered with mascara.
"You still look just like your dad," she continued.
"Right?" my mother chimed in from behind Sharon, holding out a glass for her to take. "I swear she's not mine." She laughed playfully. Sharon cackled.
"You've been trying to get away with that one for years, but I was the one who drove you to the hospital when you went into labor, remember?"
"I couldn't exactly drive myself," my mother huffed.
"The bottle of wine may have had something to do with that,"
Sharon added, her laugh turning into a cough. I narrowed my eyes and looked from her to my mother.
"Relax, Emily," my mother chuckled. "She's only joking."
I nodded with an awkward smile. Sharon clamped her mouth shut to keep from laughing, causing her to convulse in a coughing fit.
"Can I smoke?"
Sharon asked in a rasp, pulling a pack from her pocket.
"Porch," my mother instructed. "I'll come out with you."
My mother and Sharon disappeared out the front door. Evan finally emerged from the kitchen with several platters of quesadillas. Jared and Jonathan were helping two of the new arrivals move furniture to make room for the additional poker table. Sarah and I brought in pitchers of margaritas and set them on the coffee table.
"I know, right?" my mother said to Sharon as they entered from the porch, the smell of cigarette smoke swirling around them.
"Evan, you can have a beer," my mother insisted. "It's my birthday. Besides, you're staying over, so you don't have to worry about driving." She smiled and handed him a freshly opened bottle.
"Thanks."
He accepted it and placed his hand on my back, probably sensing my uneven breaths. I watched as my mother poured herself another drink. Closing my eyes, I exhaled quickly, trying to remain calm.
"You okay?"
Evan bent down to ask in my ear. I played off my worried expression.
"I'm not so sure I know what I'm doing with poker." "I'll help you," he assured me. "I'll give you a cheat sheet so you know what hand beats what."
"Okay," I replied, trying to appear relaxed. I met Jonathan's eyes across the room. He looked from my mother to me and shook his head. He was expecting something to happen, and my gut twisted in a knot, knowing it too. I looked away and tried to shake it off.
"Let's play," my mother announced, herding everyone into the living room.
As she drank more and more, my mother played less and less. She finally declared that whatever Jonathan earned would be her winnings. She hopped from table to table, initiating conversations. Then she'd jump up to select songs on the iPod and dance around with whoever she could pull away from the game. And I played poker. Or at least tried to. I had no idea what I was doing. I kept glancing at Evan's cheat sheet to decide if my hand was good enough to place a bet. We had to buy chips, so the betting was real, at the birthday girl's insistence. This kept a few of the guys a little too serious, considering it was supposed to be fun. A few margarita pitchers later, my mother was a giggly mess, sitting on Jonathan's lap with her arms draped around his neck. "Come on, baby. You need to bet big on this hand," my mother urged, kissing him on the cheek. With that statement, one of the guys folded.
"Thanks, Rachel," Jonathan replied, placing his bet.
"No, you should bet more than that," she garbled, pushing a few more chips in. "We're winning this hand." She stuck her tongue out at Sarah and the other guy who hadn't folded. Sarah laughed at her, taking a sip of her margarita. "Sarah, I like you," she spontaneously confessed, the effects of the tequila showing.
"Thanks, Rachel," Sarah replied with a smile. "Happy birthday."
She raised her glass for my mother to clumsily tap.
"Come dance with me," my mother insisted, popping up from Jonathan's lap and grabbing Sarah's hand.
"But I'm still playing," Sarah argued feebly. My mother grabbed her hand and pulled her from her chair, making Sarah abandon her cards on the table. My mother twirled herself under Sarah's arm as she held her hand above her head. I watched from the other table as Jared shuffled the deck.
"You don't say much, huh?"
the woman with bleach blonde hair noted. I thought her name was Sally, but maybe it was Allie.
"Not really," I replied, keeping my eyes on the cards as Jared placed them on the table in front of me. "Don't drink either, huh?"
she slurred, holding her head up on her hand.
"No, I don't," I answered. "You used to make us drinks when you were little," she told me, making me pause before picking up my cards. "You were so cute getting us beers. Rachel always had the best parties."
I studied my cards intently, knowing Evan and Jared were watching me. "I'll take two cards," I requested, pretending not to be fazed by the glimpse of my previous life with my mother. In truth, it was appearing to be not too much different than it was now, except I didn't take sips from the beer cans anymore. Our life was full of emotional waves, and had been even more so when I was young. Laughing one minute, crying and screaming the next. There was always music playing, and there seemed to be a constant flow of people in the house. But despite the bodies, I was very much on my own. That's when my focus became school and sports. Despite my mother's lack of interest in my academic achievements, she'd always made certain I had soccer and basketball, even if she was incapable of driving me to the practices and games herself. My mother and Sarah's laughter drew our attention. My mother bumped into the side table, knocking over a few pictures. Sharon joined them from her post on the porch, trailing cigarette fumes in with her.
"What do you do, Allie?"
Evan intervened, taking a sip from his beer bottle.
"I'm a bartender," she replied, directing her attention toward Evan and lingering a little too long. "Can't believe you're still in high school. And wait," she looked from me to Evan. "You two are dating, right?"
Evan nodded before requesting two cards from Jared.
"I miss high school," she sighed, taking a gulp from her glass.
"No, you don't," my mother countered, plopping down in the vacant seat next to Allie.
"You hated high school."
Allie started laughing.
"That's true. But we sure did get away with a lot of shit."
"Definitely," my mother recollected with a giggle.
"Do you remember when you convinced Mr. Hall to let you skip that test because you told him you had wicked bad cramps, and then we went into the woods to get high?"
My mother laughed hard in remembrance, causing her eyes to water. In between hysterics, Allie added,
"And the time you gave Emily that crown and coke and we videoed her bumping into the wall for like an hour?"
My mother held her stomach as she rolled in laughter. The guy next to Allie chuckled,
"I remember that. You were hysterical."
I forced a chuckle, like I remembered it fondly, then folded and made an excuse about needing to go to the bathroom. But when I opened the bathroom door to leave, my mother was waiting to get in.
"Emily," she declared happily, "are you having fun?"
"Yeah, it's great," I told her, trying to smile. "Are you having fun?"
"I'm trying,"
she said, passing me to go into the bathroom.
"It would be better if he would stop staring at you."
And with that, she shut the bathroom door, leaving me outside, stunned. Who is she talking about? I turned toward the stairs as Jonathan was reaching the top.
Hey, he greeted. Are you in line?
No, I replied, heading toward the stairs, still shocked by what my mother had said before shutting the door.
What's going on?
I shrugged, completely mystified.
What?
The door opened behind us and my mother emerged. We both whipped around.
Ah, she said, as if she'd caught us. And there you two are.
You know, I know. I mean, it's so obvious. But can't you at least wait until you're in California? I mean, it's my birthday. You don't have to shove it in my face.
Rachel, what are you talking about?
Jonathan laughed uncomfortably.
Whatever, she said, dismissing him. I'm over it.
I continued to gawk at her. You can't think there's anything going on between us, I insisted.
Maybe.
She shrugged and trod down the stairs, leaving us staring after her. I took a deep breath and followed her as Jonathan went into the bathroom. The rest of the night, we didn't even look at each other, or at least I didn't look at him. I refused to fuel my mother's drunken delusions, and I really didn't want her saying anything in front of Evan. As the money dwindled, so did the participants. Jared and Sarah were the first to leave.
I've been getting a little drunk, Sarah laughed in my ear as she clumsily hugged me goodbye.
It's okay, I told her, patting her awkwardly on the back as Jared waited to help her put her jacket on. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Not long after, the other poker table and chairs were folded up as one of the carloads decided to head out as well.
But you can't leave, my mother begged them, hugging Allie. Happy birthday, Rach.
My mother walked out to the porch to see them off.
Who wants a shot?
She asked upon closing the door. It was a question that she didn't expect to be answered as she lined up the shot glasses on the coffee table, filled them with tequila, and began handing them to everyone, including me. When she set the gold liquid in front of me, I cringed and glanced across the table at Jonathan.
To being forever young,
she declared, holding her shot glass in the air.
Come on, Evan, pick it up.
Evan raised his shot along with everyone else, slinging it back with a grimace. I didn't touch mine. Jonathan slid it surreptitiously across the table and drank it down before sliding the glass back in front of me.
Atta girl, Emily,
my mother praised me, collecting the glasses. While she was in the kitchen, Evan leaned over and asked,
Want to stay or go?
I bit my lip in consternation. Before I could make a decision, the bearded guy folded his hand and declared,
Well, I think I'm broke enough. Sharon, we're going.
No,
she mumbled from her slouched position on the couch.
Yeah, you're about ready to pass out,
he noted, standing up from the table.
Not you too,
my mother sulked when she found him retrieving their coats from the closet.
Your guy took all my money, he told her. So happy birthday. Don't spend it all at once.
She gave him a hug and a brief peck on the lips. With it just being the three of us, and my poker chips down to a handful, Jonathan suggested,
Cash out?
Sure, I answered, standing up from the table. Evan remained to help Jonathan put the chips back in their silver case. I headed into the kitchen to begin picking up. My mother came in from the porch, shivering.
It's just us, huh?
She observed the guys in the living room and me in the kitchen.
I did have fun,
she said from behind me. Good, I answered, dumping the half-full glasses in the sink.
I'm sorry about upstairs, you know, with Jonathan. I can be pretty stupid sometimes.
I could only nod, not knowing how to respond. Then out of nowhere, she asked,
So you don't remember, right?
I turned around and tightened my eyes in confusion.
What?
About your parties when I lived with you?
I remember. I was just thinking, she said,
ignoring my answer. She settled down on the kitchen chair, probably because she was having a hard time standing.
I've had to relive that day for all these years, and you don't remember it.
Her face was smooth and emotionless as her eyes lazily flipped up at me. I opened my mouth to ask her what she was talking about, but then I realized she was talking about the day my father died. I closed my mouth and averted my gaze.
You always had to wear pink, she remembered, lost in the past as her eyes glazed over. He bought you a new pink dress every year.
I was held hostage by her words, unable to tell her to stop. My heart started to beat faster.
You were waiting for him by the window, wanting to know why he was late. You kept asking where he was every 5 minutes.
Sorrow flooded her face.
It's not fair that you don't remember the day I can never forget. When was the last time you celebrated your birthday, Emily?
Her question sliced through me. My chest froze, and I had to force air into my lungs. All of a sudden, I wasn't in the room anymore. I was in my pink frilly dress, staring out the window.
He would drive home early from work to hang those stupid colored lanterns in the backyard,
she recalled impassively. For a second, I saw them. They were different shapes and colors, strewn in crisscrossing lines across the backyard. My stomach was swallowed by coldness, and I couldn't move.
He'd bring home your cake, made by that ridiculously expensive bakery in the city. It always had to be chocolate with raspberry filling.
When's Daddy going to be home?
I asked. The curtains spread so I could keep watch. He shouldn't be long, was what I was told each time. It wasn't my mother who answered me, but another woman. I looked over my shoulder to see her pulling a pan out of the oven.
But it's getting dark, and he never comes home in the dark, I argued, continuing to stare out the window.
Anything yet? She asked, concern resonating in her voice as a man entered the room with a phone in his hand.
No,
he answered.
They said he left the office hours ago.
The man looked familiar, but I couldn't place him.
Rachel!
He hollered.
What?
She called back from upstairs.
I think we need to make the call.
Before she could answer, the phone rang. She rushed down the stairs as the man answered.
Who is it?
She demanded before he'd even said hello. The anxiety in her eyes made me nervous. I kept watching her, unable to look away from her distressed face. It changed from worry to despair when the words spilled from his mouth after he hung up the phone.
There's been an accident.
You took him from me,
she murmured, not removing her eyes from mine.
Rachel? What did you do?
Jonathan's voice sounded like he was talking through a tunnel. My vision blurred with tears. Her eyes widened in recognition.
Oh, she breathed. You remember.
Pain eased through my body like venom. I opened my mouth to cry out, but nothing happened.
What did you do?
Jonathan demanded again, more urgently.
Emma, are you okay? Emma? What's wrong?
Evan's muted voice was etched with concern. I looked into her eyes again and swore I saw loathing. I winced. I couldn't be there any longer. I needed to get out, but I couldn't move. My legs refused to cooperate. I choked on the sobs that were suffocating me. My body was on fire, searing in pain. I had to get away from her. Before I knew what I'd done, I was out the front door. The legs that had failed me moments before were now carrying me in a run down the street. But no matter how hard I ran, I couldn't escape the ache that was crushing my chest. I breathed in, but I couldn't get enough air. I ran down random street after street before collapsing on the damp, muddy ground, gripping my chest. It felt like it was about to burst open. I screamed in pain. It all came back to me in a rush. The call. My mother yelling out in denial. I watched as if I were a spectator at a play. I didn't understand, but at the same time, I understood too well. He wasn't coming home. He was never coming home again. I don't know how long I lay on the cold, wet ground, consumed in grief. I was pulled back to the surface when a warm hand brushed across my cheek. He gently propped my head on his lap as he soothed me with comforting words I couldn't quite make out.
"It's okay,"
he whispered.
"It hurts so bad,"
I gasped, my body tense.
"Please make it stop."
The tears continued down my cheeks. Evan pulled me off the ground and carried me to the car. He gently set me down on the passenger seat, bending to kiss my forehead. I curled up in a ball, still clutching my chest, afraid that if I let go, I would fall apart. I began to shiver, the cold earth having seeped into my bones. The warmth of the car did little to ease the shaking. Evan draped his jacket over me, and I burrowed my nose into the collar, breathing in his scent. I fought for each breath, my jaw quivering. I was consumed by the pain, unable to escape it. It was crushing me. I was trapped in my grief, barely aware of where we were when the car stopped. I think he may have tried to talk to me, but I couldn't hear what he was saying. His voice was muffled and distant. I closed my eyes and pressed my face against his chest when he lifted me from the car. I remained still as he rested me on his bed. I felt my shoes slide off my feet and my jeans glide over my legs. I couldn't focus, but my eyes were open. I could only feel, and I didn't know how to shut it off. I couldn't push it back down to the hidden depths of darkness where I'd been protected from it for so many years. I was losing him all over again. Warmth pressed against my back, and his arms pulled me into him. I gripped his hand, holding it tightly, keeping myself tethered to the present just enough so that I could regain perspective of where I was, lying on Evan's bed.
"I'm here, Emma. I'll never let you go,"
he whispered in my ear, holding me tighter. My frame shook as I cried, releasing the torment that had been trapped since that day 10 years ago. I found reprieve sometime in the early hours of the next day when exhaustion shrouded the pain, and I drifted into a sleep filled with vivid images of my father. 25. All over again. Before I opened my eyes, I heard music playing softly in the background. I couldn't quite figure out who was singing, but his voice was calming. I breathed in, letting the melody float over me before deciding to open my eyes. They didn't open very wide. My eyes were swollen and puffy, and my entire body ached, especially my chest. I eased myself out of the curled position I'd locked myself in throughout the night. Though he wasn't in the room, Evan had left behind the comforting lyrics flowing through the speakers. I sat on the edge of the bed and breathed in deeply. I felt empty, like everything inside of me had spilled out and there was nothing left. I rose from the bed and went into the bathroom, not bothering to look at myself as I passed the mirror, having seen the vacant look one too many times. I stripped down and climbed into the shower, allowing the hot water to beat against my skin. The exhaustion held tight, even after the long shower. A pair of sweatpants and a t-shirt were set on the floor in front of the door when I got out. Evidently, Evan knew I was awake. I dressed in the t-shirt that hung past my hips and folded the waistband of the pants over so I wouldn't trip on them. I braided my wet hair before stepping back into the room. He was waiting for me, sitting up against the headboard, flipping through the channels with the television on mute. Evan clicked off the TV when I slid onto the bed and curled up on his chest.
"How are you doing?"
he asked gently, wrapping his arms around me.
Okay,
I rasped, my throat raw from the strain of emotion. He squeezed me against him before asking,
Can you tell me what happened last night?
I swallowed hard. Tears filled my eyes at the thought of saying it out loud.
If you can't.
It's okay,
I choked. Sitting up, I took another cleansing breath and met Evan's smoky blue eyes. Worry forged a line between them. I knew I had to try to explain.
My mother blames me for my father's death.
Just hearing those words spewing out of my mouth suffocated me. His back stiffened.
How?
He died on my birthday, I explained. On his way home from buying the cake.
How is that your fault?
I shrugged.
Logically, it's not, but she hurts, and I give her a reason for her pain.
I ruined her life. Emma, you didn't. She's an adult. She should realize that accidents happen. You can't believe that it's your fault.
I
couldn't find the words to say what he wanted me to, that I knew I wasn't at fault. Guilt captured the words off my tongue before I could say them. I understood what was true, but I couldn't deny how devastating it was to be the reason he had been on that road at that moment. Logic didn't matter when the person I loved most had been taken from me. I finally understood why my mother needed me to feel her suffering. It hurt her too much to keep it inside, for her to be the only one to miss him like she did.
I couldn't remember him, I told Evan, running my eyes along the lines of the comforter, allowing the images of my father to run freely through my head. Remembering him would mean that I knew I'd lost him, and the grief that went along with it, so I didn't. I didn't remember any of it until last night, and it hurt.
I choked out the last word as tears flooded my eyes. Evan pulled me against him and held me tight.
It hurt so bad, I couldn't breathe.
Warm tears streamed down my face.
I felt it. All of it. As if it had just happened and...
I swallowed back a sob.
It's okay,
Evan soothed, kissing the top of my head.
I understand.
I stayed in the comfort of his arms until I could move again. I sat up and wiped my wet cheeks.
Can we just lie here?
I asked, sniffling. Evan handed me a much-needed tissue.
Of course.
I rested back down on Evan's chest, listening to the beating of his heart. He pulled the blanket over us and embraced me as if the strength of his arms could ward off the sorrow. The music faded and the television turned on. Evan selected a movie for us to watch, but I didn't last long, still so drained from the emotional beating I'd taken. When I opened my eyes again, the room was darkening. Evan was on his side with his arms locked around me, breathing heavily in a restful sleep. I inhaled his scent with my face pressed against his shirt and leaned up to kiss his neck. He stirred and hugged me closer. I ran my mouth along his neck, feeling the warmth of his pulse under my lips. A smile formed on his face while his eyes remained closed. I found the spot under his ear and kissed him again.
Hi,
he murmured with a wide smile, slowly opening his eyes and inhaling deeply.
Hi,
I whispered in his ear, tracing his carved jaw with my lips, making my way to his mouth. He parted his firm lips to receive me. I breathed him in and pulled myself against him, kissing him harder as his hands moved under my shirt, along my back. Our bodies moved together, easing over each other. His warm hands pressed against my bare skin, inciting a flutter throughout my body that made my heart convulse. Our breathing quickened, and his touch trailed down to the waistband of the sweatpants, teasing along the elastic. I lifted his shirt and he pulled back to allow it over his head, revealing the smooth lines of muscle beneath. I ran my hands over the definition of his chest and grooves of his stomach, kissing along his shoulder to his neck. I went to remove my shirt, but he propped himself up and pulled back, his eyes scanning mine.
"What?"
I asked in confusion, not sure if I'd done something wrong.
"Not yet,"
Evan explained.
"Not like this."
I collapsed against him, my body pulsing.
"Okay,"
I breathed in disappointment.
"You understand, right?"
He tucked my hair behind my ear.
"I do,"
I answered, unable to look at him.
"Of course I understood.
Our first time shouldn't happen after I'd spent the day mourning the loss of my father. But I wanted to feel him, needed to feel him, to be close to him, to mend the fissure that had split open overnight."
"Do you want to stay over again tonight?"
he asked, breathing in my hair as he pressed his lips against my temple.
"I should go home."
"To Rachel's?" he questioned in surprise. "I didn't think..." "Yeah, I should," I interrupted. "It's okay. I want to talk to her. I understand now, and I didn't before. Maybe we can really fix us."
"Em..."
Evan waited for me to look up at him. I tilted my head and absorbed his troubled expression.
"It's not your fault. No matter what she says or believes, you have to know that, okay?"
"Okay," I answered in a whisper, kissing him gently. The house was dark when we pulled into the driveway, and my mother's car was parked at the end. I hesitated before opening the car door, staring at the black windows.
"Want me to come in with you?"
Evan asked, putting the car in park.
"No,"
I replied without taking my eyes off of the house. "I'll be okay."
"Call me later, all right?"
"I will," I answered, slipping out of the car and shutting the door behind me. I inhaled through my nose, preparing for whatever awaited me in the dark. Evan didn't move out of the driveway. He kept watch until I disappeared through the front door. I flipped on the foyer light and listened. The house remained uncharacteristically still. I walked into the living room and watched through the window as Evan slowly backed out of the driveway. I turned on the lights and found the poker table still in place with half-eaten bowls of chips and empty shot glasses scattered about. I began collecting the remnants of the party and carried them into the kitchen. Once I'd cleaned up and put everything back in its place, I climbed the stairs, having spent the past hour summoning the courage to do this. As I neared her door, I could hear her crying. I froze, my insides squirming. Before I could back away, I tapped lightly on the door. The sobs ceased.
"Yes,"
she answered, barely audible. With my heart beating frantically, I slowly opened the door and stepped in.
"Hi,"
I said lightly. My mother was lying on her bed, her eye makeup smeared with tears, her hair tangled and sprawled on the pillow. The red face and swollen eyes were all too familiar. She still wore the same clothes from the night before. I sat down on the side of her bed, furthest from her.
"I thought you'd left me too,"
she rasped, pulling a tissue from the box next to her bed.
"No,"
I explained. "I just needed some time."
"So you're staying?"
She took short breaths, recovering.
"I'm staying,"
I confirmed faintly. My mother rolled away from me. I could make out small gasps as she continued to cry. My hand hovered over her, shaking slightly, hesitant to touch her. I let down the wall, the one that protected me from everything that hurt. I opened myself up and felt her pain, my pain, and became her daughter, resting my hand on her back. I felt her chest expand as she inhaled a sobbing breath. I waited for her to surface, sitting beside her, letting her know I hadn't abandoned her. After some time, she became quiet. I took my hand away when she shifted onto her back to face me with reddened eyes.
"Do you want to watch a movie and eat a pint of ice cream with me?"
I asked gently. She attempted to smile.
"Sure."
My mother slowly sat up, wiping the makeup and tears from under her eyes.
"I'm going to take a shower."
Before she left the room, she turned to me and said,
"I'm glad you didn't leave me."
My mouth twitched into a fragile smile. On her way to the bathroom, my mother yelled back,
"Nothing romantic and sappy. I may throw something at the TV."
I laughed as she shut the door behind her. I went to my room to retrieve my wallet and keys. The red light was blinking on my phone, so I grabbed it on my way out the door. After flipping through Jonathan's and Evan's missed calls and texts from the night before, wondering where I was and if I was okay, I deleted them all. I got up the nerve to call Jonathan when I pulled into the grocery store's parking lot, not exactly sure what I should say.
"Hi,"
Jonathan answered after only a couple of rings.
"How are you?"
"I'm okay."
"Are you sure? You didn't look okay last night."
"I will be," I assured him, running my fingers along the steering wheel.
"I can't believe she did that. I wanted to go after you, but Evan was already out the door and she started screaming at me. Sorry, I should have gone anyway."
"No," I stressed, confused by his words. "I understand."
"Where are you now, at Sarah's?"
"No, I'm back home," I answered quietly.
"You are?"
He sounded surprised.
"Why?"
I began, flustered by his disapproval. "Because she's my mother, and I don't think she should have to go through this alone anymore."
"Emma, what she did was horrible. How—"
He stopped. I could hear him exhale, as if to calm himself.
"I don't understand how you can let it go like it wasn't a big deal."
"I'm not." "Exactly," I replied weakly. "I just think I understand better now, that's all." Jonathan was silent for a moment before he added,
"I couldn't let her treat you like that. I had to end it. You understand, right?"
"I knew it was coming," I answered. He remained quiet. "I should get going," I finally said when the silence became too uncomfortable.
"Call me,"
he said in a rush before I could hang up.
"If you need anything, even just to say hi, okay? Just call me."
His voice was heavy with worry and made me pause. "I will," I promised, not truly certain if I would or should. When I returned home, my mother was showered and on the couch with a blanket over her lap. She didn't have any makeup on to conceal the lines etched around her mouth and the creases at the corners of her eyes. She looked worn, defeated. She tried to smile when I walked in carrying the movie and 2 pints of ice cream, but her eyes remained dull and unaffected. I put the movie in and sat next to her on the couch. We ate our ice cream and watched the movie in silence, until her voice broke the stillness with, "I can be such a bitch, can't I?" I didn't know what to say. I was actually afraid to look over at her, hoping she wasn't really expecting an answer. So I scraped my spoon along the top of the ice cream and waited. "I don't know what happens," she finally continued. I glanced over at her out of the corner of my eye. She wasn't looking at me, but staring down at the floor, consumed by her thoughts. "It's when I drink too much. I get... I say things I shouldn't. I'm a terrible person."
"No, you're not," I said automatically.
She peered up at me, her blue eyes heavy with guilt. My mouth softened into a small smile.
"I didn't understand what you were going through."
"I didn't know."
"It takes the edge off," she continued.
My brow twitched, uncertain what she meant.
"The alcohol," she clarified, "makes the pain bearable. I'm not as strong as you. You can shut it off and block everything out. You were able to do that even as a little girl. You didn't even cry at his funeral."
Her voice broke. My mother's eyes welled up and her lower lip quivered.
"I miss him."
Tears slid down her cheeks as she gasped,
I miss him so much, and I don't know how not to.
Her shoulders slumped forward as she gave in to the pain. I set down my ice cream and scooted closer, putting my arm around her shoulders to comfort her. She collapsed against me, and I gripped her tighter as she cried. I couldn't exactly say why, but I didn't cry. Maybe I had hurt enough and I just needed to shut everything off, like she'd said I would. I continued to console her without allowing her sadness to seep in. I couldn't recollect a time we'd ever shared an affectionate embrace, but in that moment, I could barely feel her against me. So detached and outside myself, I was anything but strong. I remained by her side and ran my hand over her dark hair, soothing her with comforting words, assuring her that it was okay to miss him, that she would be okay. My mother finally raised her head, wiping the tears from her face. "Thank you." She tried to smile, but it was as if her cheeks were too tired and weak to lift. She took a deep breath and sat up on her own.
"Birthdays suck in this house, huh?"
I raised my eyebrows, not knowing how to react. She followed with,
"I think I'm going to bed. I didn't sleep much last night, so I'm exhausted. See you in the morning?"
"Of course," I answered, watching her stand. I continued to watch her as she walked up the stairs to her room. I lay down on the couch and pulled the blanket over me, not ready to sleep yet. A loud banging caused me to bolt upright with a start. It was silent in the dark. Perhaps I'd imagined it. Then the banging erupted at my door, making me jump. My heart beat in panic. My room was so black I couldn't even see the door. I blinked, but still couldn't focus on a thing. I remained frozen in my bed. A frantic voice yelled from the other side. It sounded like a child, a little girl. I fumbled with my blankets at the sound of her panicked voice. I stepped into the dark and felt the cool boards beneath my feet. I couldn't make out what she was saying. Her pounding blocked out her words. I thought she was saying, "Get me out." She sounded so desperate. I needed to get to her. I blindly searched for the door, my hands reaching out in front of me. I felt the hard surface with my fingertips. The wood shook violently beneath my hands as her small fists slammed against it. That's when I heard her scream, "Get out!" I gasped. My eyes shot open. The television was on, and I was lying on the couch. My heart pounded in my chest. The fear in her voice still reverberated in my head. I sat up with my hands shaking. I eyed the stairs, considering going to bed, but knew I wouldn't be able to sleep. I picked up the remote and started flipping through the channels, though her plea still echoed through my head, sending a chill throughout my body. I wrapped the blanket around me tighter. I picked up my phone, not really thinking about what I was doing, but needing another voice in my head other than the little girl's. Almost instantly I heard,
"Hi. Can't sleep."
My lips curled into a half smile at the sound of his voice. "No. You either?"
"Nope. What are you watching?"
Jonathan asked. 26. Disappointment.
"So, how's Rachel?"
"She's okay," I said, sitting on my bed, running my fingers along the patterns of my bedspread. "She's been lying low the past couple of weeks. She's focused all of her energy on teaching me how to cook, which is disastrous. And I've been trying to teach her how to play basketball, which is even more disastrous." He laughed. Just thinking of her chasing after the ball every time she'd lift her head and lose control made me smile.
"It sounds like the two of you are figuring things out."
"We're trying," I admitted. "It's not always easy. There are still tears every so often, but nothing ice cream can't fix." I paused and then added, "She misses you."
"I'm not so sure she misses me," Jonathan replied. "I think she misses being with someone.
Whatever, I said. I'm not going to argue with you, but I'm pretty convinced it's you. He let out a breathy laugh, knowing I'd argued with him anyway.
Sorry you didn't win the championship. It was a close game.
Yep, I sighed, having replayed the last 2 minutes of the game in my head repeatedly over the last week and a half.
That foul was a bad call.
Wait, you were there?
Yeah, he confessed slowly. I had to know how it would end.
Well, it ended, that's for sure. I wish you'd said something to me.
I thought it would be awkward, you know, with Rachel.
Yeah, maybe, I admitted reluctantly. It's just been a while since I've seen you.
Maybe we should do something about that.
Maybe.
We should hang out sometime. Just do something.
Oh, yeah, something sounds fun, I teased. I do that a lot, and I always have a blast.
You're hilarious. But really, I'll pick a day and you'll just have to come along to do whatever something I choose.
Bring it, I taunted, making him laugh.
So, tonight's the big night,
he said with exaggerated excitement. Don't make fun, I threatened lightly. It is a big night.
Only because you're making it that way. Emma, let whatever's supposed to happen happen.
Great pep talk, thanks, I snapped sarcastically. I don't want to talk about it. I might throw up on my phone, and I like this phone. I would hate to have to replace it. Jonathan laughed again.
Fine, we won't talk about it. But don't let his dad get to you, no matter what.
I won't, I sighed, knowing that Stuart Matthews was the most intimidating man on the planet. There was no way I was not going to let him get to me. He scared the crap out of me.
Tell me what happens. The suspense is already killing me, he taunted, sounding overly dramatic.
Ha ha, I jeered. I gotta go. Don't be surprised if I call you at 3 a.m. with a nightmare about being stepped on by a giant men's dress shoe. I'd name a brand, but I have no idea what men wear.
I'll be waiting, Jonathan chuckled. Bye, Emma.
I watched as call ended flashed across my screen, trying to summon the courage to prepare for dinner with Evan and his parents. It would have been better if Jared could have helped deflect the tension. He always seemed to know what to say to make the most serious situations seem light and uncomplicated. But he couldn't drive up from Cornell in the middle of the week. What are you wearing? My mother asked from my open door. I looked up in surprise, wondering how long she'd been standing there. I was thinking the gray pants with the white blouse, I answered, motioning toward the two items hanging on the back of my closet. The pants were serious, like I was going to interview with a law firm serious, but the short-sleeved blouse with the puffy capped sleeves was light and airy, keeping it a little more fun.
Pants?
My mother questioned. I'm going to be so nervous, I'll be sweating like crazy. Do you know how uncomfortable it is to sweat behind your knees with a skirt on? It's pretty disgusting, actually. My mother laughed. Don't be nervous. I'm positive everything will work out for you both.
You've never met his father, I groaned.
Well, he can't be any worse than your grandmother. My mother countered with a roll of her eyes. I stopped and looked at her.
I had no idea I had a grandmother.
Carol and George had never mentioned anyone, nor had my mother until this second. I had always been under the impression that my grandparents had passed away before I was born. Maybe that's what she'd meant, past tense. She didn't notice my stunned face, or perhaps she chose to ignore it.
Are you going to take a shower? It's getting late.
Oh, yeah, I answered, jumping up from my bed, abandoning the phone that I still grasped in my hand on the bedspread. I gathered what I needed for the bathroom and moved past my mother down the hall. After styling my hair in soft curls and dressing in my serious but not too serious attire, I was ready. Or at least I looked ready. Sarah would have been proud. My phone beeped. I turned toward my bed, but it wasn't where I'd left it. Scanning the room, I found it on my dresser. I cocked my head curiously and picked it up to see,
"On your way?"
"Leaving now," I texted back before rushing down the stairs. "Good luck," my mother said from the top of the stairs, dressed in a short skirt and camisole. "Going out?" I deduced. I'm overdue, she replied. No reason to stay in on a Thursday night. Her voice sounded off, a little strained. She smirked and added, Besides, it's April Fool's Day. What could possibly go wrong? Everything, I said to myself before saying, Well, have fun, out loud. She turned and went back in her room. I paused in front of the coat closet, wondering if I should be concerned that she was going out. I took a breath and decided to focus on one nerve-wracking situation at a time. I grabbed my coat and headed out the door. When I arrived at the Matthews, Vivian was stepping onto the porch wearing a long white coat and holding a small black clutch.
Perfect timing, Emily, Vivian said in greeting, taking a key out of her purse. Evan, we're ready.
Evan appeared, looking very polished, his overcoat covering what I assumed was a suit. I smiled at his shiny dress shoes, recollecting my nightmare prediction. Dinners with the Matthews always made me nervous, fearing I'd say the wrong thing or embarrass Evan with my lack of social skills. But tonight I was a wreck. I was convinced I wouldn't be able to eat at all.
Evan, would you mind driving? Vivian requested, handing him the key to her BMW.
Sure,
Evan replied. Before heading to the car, he walked over and wrapped his arms around me.
You look amazing. A little pale, but still amazing. You can breathe, you know.
Not yet, I murmured from within his coat. He kissed the top of my head before opening the car door for me.
This is such an exciting night, Vivian stated from the passenger seat as we drove to the restaurant. I hope we don't have to wait too long for your father to arrive.
It doesn't matter if he's there,
Evan told her.
He's not going to like where I'm going unless it's Yale.
Evan, Vivian warned, don't be that way. He only wants what's best for you, and he will come around to accepting your decision. He may need more time, that's all.
Yeah, 4 years,
Evan mumbled loud enough for us to hear.
Wait, you already know where you're going?
I already know where I want to go, Evan corrected. I just need my mother to tell us if I'm going there or not. She's really great at keeping secrets, even from my father.
Well, if he knew where you were going, then this wouldn't be nearly as exciting, Vivian smiled. I'm the only one who knows for a reason.
I didn't understand her tactics, keeping his acceptance letters from him until tonight. Why did she need to let the suspense build? I thought I was about to pass out. I wanted to scream, Just tell us already! But of course I didn't. I remained still in the back seat, barely breathing. When we arrived at the restaurant, we were escorted to a table in the corner with a little more privacy. Evan assisted in removing my jacket before taking off his own. My mouth crept into a big smile when he revealed what he was wearing. Beneath his tailored suit jacket, he wore the Stanford t-shirt I'd given him for Christmas.
I didn't want there to be any misunderstandings about my choice,
Evan explained with a smirk when he saw me beaming.
Very clever, Vivian stated in admiration with a shine in her eyes. I'm not sure your father will appreciate your sense of style, but I adore it.
Me too, I added, feeling a little more confident at the sight of him wearing the t-shirt, like he already belonged at Stanford. Vivian insisted we order while we waited for Stuart. I selected the dish she recommended, knowing I wouldn't be eating much of it. I had a feeling that regardless of where Evan wanted to go and which college accepted him, his father was going to have the final say. After all, it was his money that was putting Evan through college. And then we waited. Vivian drove the conversation without pause, but she couldn't keep Evan from checking his watch every few minutes. I remained quiet, listening and nodding, glancing over as Evan's face became tighter with each minute that passed. By the time our entrees were cleared, with more left on the plates than eaten, Evan was straining every muscle in his body to remain composed. Vivian excused herself from the table, taking her cell phone with her.
He's not coming,
Evan concluded dryly under his breath.
He wants to make it perfectly clear he doesn't approve and won't support my decision.
I wanted to say the right thing to make him feel better, but I didn't. His father had deserted him on one of the most important nights of his life. What was there to say? Instead, I held his hand as he gripped it firmly, allowing me just to be there for him. Vivian returned and smiled tensely.
"Well, it doesn't appear that your father will be able to make it. I apologize. So there's no use in delaying the suspense. Evan, you chose Stanford, and they also chose you. Congratulations."
She tried to appear happy for him, but Stuart's refusal to attend cursed the entire evening. "Thank you," Evan accepted graciously, but his face still looked as though he'd bitten into something sour. I kept a worried eye upon him, feeling his hand tighten around mine. I tried to smile as well, looking toward Vivian for reassurance, but I couldn't find any in her troubled eyes. Evan's choice to attend Stanford had divided their family, and that wasn't worthy of celebration. I returned home that night, deflated and confused. The one thing I wanted more than anything suddenly felt so selfish and wrong, and I wasn't sure how to make it right. The house was dark when I entered. I flipped on the foyer lights and searched for signs that my mother had returned. Her car wasn't in the driveway. Her jacket wasn't in the closet. I glanced at the clock and realized it was still early, so there wasn't any need to worry. Yet. I went upstairs to change and brush my teeth before returning to the living room and curling up on the couch to wait for her. My eyes blinked open, and I pulled my head off the pillow, listening. I squinted to make out the glowing time on the cable box. It was after 3 in the morning. I quickly swept the blankets off to peer out the window, finding my car the only occupant of the driveway. I ran up the stairs and opened her door. Her bed sheets were still crumpled after her half-hearted attempt to make her bed. She wasn't home. I was trying not to panic, but I kept thinking of the night when Jonathan and I had to pick her up at the bar. What if something had happened to her? What if she'd tried to drive home? My heart pounded with each racing thought, flashing through all the horrific possibilities. I paced the foyer, trying to decide what to do, then instinctively picked up my phone.
"Was it a shoe?"
Jonathan teased on the other end. "She's not home," I burst out. "It's after 3 in the morning and she's not home yet. What if something happened to her? What if..."
"Emma!"
Jonathan raised his voice to get my attention.
"What are you talking about?"
"My mother," I explained, my voice edged with panic. "She's still not home, and I don't know what to do."
"Did you call her?"
It seemed so obvious a question. I closed my eyes and shook my head in embarrassment. "No."
"Call her, and then call me back, okay?"
he instructed calmly. "Okay." I hung up and immediately called my mother's phone. I didn't know why I hadn't thought to do that originally. I guess the image of her in a ditch, bleeding to death on the side of the road, distracted me from thinking clearly. The phone rang 3 times before someone picked it up.
"Hello."
"Hi, this is Emily," I answered, not recognizing the woman's voice. "I'm looking for Rachel."
"Oh,"
the woman croaked. Obviously, my call had woken her.
"She's here. Passed out."
I faltered. "Where's here?"
"This is Sharon."
"Sorry," I blundered.
"Do you need to talk to her?"
"No, I'll see her in the morning." I hung up the phone and plopped down on the couch. I wanted to be relieved, and I was, mostly. I called Jonathan back. "She's at Sharon's. Sorry that I freaked out like that. I should have called her first. I wasn't thinking straight."
"Don't worry about it,"
he assured me.
"Are you going to be okay? Do you want me to come over or anything?"
I paused, not expecting the offer. No. I'm just going to bed. I have school in the morning." I did go to bed, but I didn't sleep. 27. Lines blurred.
"Did you remember your bathing suit?"
Huh? I turned toward Sarah, who was awaiting my answer with her shoulder against her locker. She'd caught me staring at nothing again. Thinking about my mother and wondering why I hadn't seen her this morning. I'd expected her to come home to get ready for work. Maybe she'd borrowed something from Sharon. From what I knew of Sharon, the choices must have been limited.
You brought your bathing suit, right? Sarah repeated with her brows scrunched. For Jill's party tonight.
Yeah, I answered. Are we staying at her place or going back to yours?
Not sure yet, she replied,
walking next to me until we had to go our separate ways.
See you at lunch.
I nodded and headed downstairs. I felt like I was sleepwalking the entire day. The voices were murmurs of incoherent noise. I jotted down notes without really understanding what the teacher was talking about. Everything around me went by in a blur, but I was moving in slow motion. I expected Sarah and Evan to say something, but they didn't. It struck me that perhaps they weren't surprised by my glazed stare and lack of contribution to their conversations. They always looked at me like they were worried, so today was apparently just like every other day. But it felt off. I wasn't sure I could explain it, but there was something that didn't feel right. I knew I was exhausted, not having slept more than a couple of hours, but it was more than that. There was a queasiness in the bottom of my stomach, like I had forgotten to turn off the iron or something, but much worse. I drove to the soccer field after school. The rest of the soccer team hadn't arrived yet, since practice didn't start for 45 minutes. I usually did homework and changed at school, but today I'd driven straight here. I reclined my seat and stared up at the clouds, waiting. I figured I'd change as the rest of the girls started to arrive. My lids became heavier the longer I stared. I closed them, convinced I'd wake when the cars began pulling in.
"Do you have your cleats?"
"Yep," I answered, picking them up by their laces.
"Do you have your shin guards?"
"Yep." I stuffed them under my arm.
"Do you have your coat?"
"Dad!" I laughed. "Stop being silly!"
"I just wanted to make sure you had everything," he teased. "Guess I'll be in charge of the soccer star."
He scooped me up in his arms and tickled my belly, making me squirm and squeal in delight. Then he pulled me in to kiss me on the cheek.
"We're going to win today," I told him, my voice proud and confident.
"We're going to have fun today," he corrected, rubbing the top of my head as he carried me to the car.
When we arrived at the soccer field, I raced ahead to join my friends while my dad unloaded the soccer balls out of the trunk. But as I got closer, the kids' laughter grew quiet and the wind picked up. I squinted against the bright sun, spinning in a circle. Everyone was gone.
"Dad?"
I called out, searching for him. My hair whipped in my face. I clumsily pushed it out of my face, trying to see.
"Dad!"
I yelled, becoming more and more frightened. I spun around again, but I was alone.
"Dad!"
I screamed.
"Emma!"
I opened my eyes and shot up in the seat, blinking around in surprise, disoriented by the sun setting behind the trees. There was a knock on my window.
"Emma! Have you been in your car the entire time?"
Casey asked from outside. She was sweaty and her face was flushed. I opened my door and swung my feet out onto the dirt parking lot, trying to catch my breath.
"You missed the entire practice."
"I did?" I shook my head, trying to pull away from the dream completely. "I can't believe I did that."
"I hope Coach will let you play in the game on Sunday."
"Is he still here?" I asked, searching the almost empty lot.
"No," Casey replied. "I was about to leave when I saw your car. Are you okay? Are you sick or something?"
"No," I shook my head. "I got here early and I guess I dozed off."
"I still can't believe I slept that long. Wow."
"Are you going to Jill's tonight?"
"Yeah, I should get to Sarah's. I'll see you there, I guess."
"Okay," she replied with an unsure smile. "You'll be at practice tomorrow, right?"
I will, I promised, hoping that missing practice hadn't jeopardized my starting position for Sunday. The team was part of a traveling spring soccer league. It wasn't affiliated with the school district, and there were strict rules about missing practice, especially since we only practiced a few days a week. Coach wanted to make certain every player was serious about being there. He was more than willing to replace anyone who slacked. I needed this league to get into shape for Stanford and didn't want to jeopardize it by falling asleep in my car. When I arrived at Sarah's, I found her and Anna laughing in the kitchen. Sarah was taking bites from a slice of red pepper that she'd plucked from a board where Anna was cutting up ingredients for a salad. I felt like I was intruding, and it struck me that I hadn't knocked. Maybe I was supposed to now that I didn't live here. Emma! Sarah exclaimed when she saw me. Perfect timing. You can tell my mother that she is wrong about Kyle and that he's not going to bring his college friends to this party tonight. I began, trying to catch up. No, Kyle's not like that. Oh, because he likes hanging out with high schoolers, even though he graduated last year, Anna replied with a smirk. I'm sure he's going to bring some friends from Syracuse. I shook my head when she said it, realizing who that could mean. I hope not. Sarah started laughing, sensing my dread. That could mean Drew. Em, that would suck so bad. I have to call Jill. She disappeared upstairs before I could say anything, even though her phone was in the front pocket of her jeans. It's great to see you, Emma, Anna said, mixing the contents of the salad in a bowl. I feel like it's been a while since you've been over. How is everything going with your mother? I just had lunch with her the other day. She seems so happy. Really? I tried not to sound so surprised. Everything's really good. I'm glad to hear that. She and I talk a few times a week, so I get the updates on your busy schedule. But we've missed having you around. Before I could react to her comment, the front door opened and Carl bellowed hello. Hi, Dad, Sarah said as she came down the stairs. They appeared around the corner together.
Emma, I'm glad you're here, Carl told me,
setting down his briefcase.
How have you been?
Great, I replied automatically.
I spoke with your Stanford coach today, and I have your housing information. I think we should look into booking a flight soon.
Yeah, sure, I replied, hit with the realization that graduation was only 2 months away. I'm staying the night, so maybe we can do it tomorrow.
Sounds good, he agreed. I'm going to change before dinner.
He kissed Anna on the cheek.
Do you need me to do anything?
No, dinner's ready whenever you come down. When Carl was out of earshot, Sarah told us, Jill said Kyle was bringing a few friends, but she wasn't sure who they were. But it's not going to be a crazy college party or anything, Mom.
I just want you to be smart, Anna warned. Call me if you need a ride home, okay?
Sarah smiled, her eyes twinkling.
Of course.
I knew what she was thinking, that this party was just like any other, including the one we'd had here in their house, the one they still had no clue about. We arrived early at Jill's, as promised. Jill needed our approval of her outfit, or I should say, Sarah's approval. Casey was already there as well, along with Annalise. I tried to keep smiling when I saw her. But I knew I'd failed when Sarah elbowed me in the ribs.
I forgot she was coming, she whispered beside me. I'd better not drink too much. I might get too honest.
I smirked, actually curious what Sarah would say to Annalise if she wasn't filtered. But if she mentions Evan once tonight, I may not be able to hold back, sober or not. Sarah, I laughed. He talked to her. It's been a little better the last couple of weeks.
I suppose, she admitted with a sigh.
When's Evan getting here, anyway? Who's he coming with? I pulled out my phone to check if he'd texted me. There was a missed call from an unfamiliar number, along with a new voice message. My stomach flipped. I can't remember, I admitted, suddenly distracted.
You're more out of it than usual today, she noted.
I know, I sighed.
I was about to make an excuse to go to the bathroom so I could listen to the message when I was interrupted by a scream. Sarah and I rushed into the room, where the scream was now followed by yelling.
"You fuck!" Jill screamed. "I can't believe you spilled a drink on Dad's leather couch! The party hasn't even started yet, and you're already making a mess! Get out of here! Get out!"
The young guy with the bright red face and curly dark hair was trying to wipe up the mess with a piece of paper from the printer, which wasn't doing anything except spreading it around.
"Stop it!" Jill scolded him. "You're making it worse! I'm pissed that you even have to be here at all!"
Casey squeezed past us with a roll of paper towels. Sarah pursed her lips to keep from laughing. "Glad I'm an only child." That's when I recognized the guy from a family picture hanging on the wall in the dining room. He was Jill's younger brother.
"How old is he?" I asked, walking away from the drama and into the kitchen.
"He's a freshman," Sarah told me. "I guess he threatened to tell Jill's parents about the party unless he and a few of his friends could stay. She was so pissed."
"Don't you remember her telling us this at lunch?"
No. Another blackout moment, sorry." Sarah scrunched her eyes. I knew she wanted to ask me if I was okay, but then she knew what my answer would be. I looked at the clock and wondered what my mother was doing tonight. I'd texted her to say that I was staying over at Sarah's, but she'd never responded. I still couldn't shake the feeling that something was wrong. "I'll be right back," I told Sarah. "I'm going to use the bathroom while I still can." She nodded, and I walked down the hall and into the floral-inspired bathroom. I locked the door and pressed the code on my phone to listen to my message. It wasn't what I expected at all.
"Hello, Emily. This is Vivian. I was hoping you were available for brunch on Sunday morning at 11. I have someone I would very much like you to meet. You are welcome to call me back at this number. I look forward to hearing from you."
I removed the phone from my ear, completely taken by surprise. Within an hour, the house was starting to fill with juniors and seniors, and the hand-picked five or so freshmen who were friends with Jill's brother. Evan arrived with a couple of guys from the baseball team. When I saw their faces, I vaguely remembered him mentioning that he was coming with them. I smiled at the sight of him cutting through the crowd. He was easy to spot since he was taller than just about everyone, and I'm certain we were easy to locate with Sarah's fiery red hair standing out in the crowd. "Hi," I said, glowing. He bent down and kissed me.
"So how's the party so far?"
he asked, resting his hand on my back.
"It's actually pretty great," Sarah intercepted before I could shrug it away as any other party. "Did you bring your swimsuit? Jill has a huge hot tub on her parents' deck that she's only allowing a few of us to use later."
"I didn't," Evan replied. "I may have shorts in my car, though."
"That's great," a chipper voice said from beside us.
I hadn't noticed Annalise hovering until now. How long had she been standing there? Sarah squeezed my arm at the sight of her. I was beginning to get the impression that Annalise got to Sarah more than she got to me, if that was possible.
"Do you mean she told you about it, too?"
Sarah asked Annalise, not hiding her detestation.
"Yeah," Annalise replied, unaffected. "She said it fits like 20 people or something. I guess Jill's parents have parties all of the time."
"That's what I heard," Sarah nodded. Then she mumbled, "Let's hope they put extra chlorine in it." I eyed her in confusion as Evan chuckled and said,
"Nice, Sarah. That's pretty gross."
I scrunched my face in disgust. Sarah rolled her eyes at me for taking so long to understand what she was insinuating.
"Don't you dare try to get out of it," Sarah threatened. "If I'm going in, so are you."
"Great," I groaned, completely disturbed by the thought of what had potentially gone on in the hot tub. Kyle arrived with a keg and some guys from college. I moved away from the crowd of people rushing toward the free beer, so I had no idea who came in with him. I was pretty certain that if Drew was one of them, I'd know soon enough. I tried to be sociable. Truly I did. But I kept looking at my phone to see if my mother had called or texted me. I wanted to ask where she was, or even how she was, but I was afraid it would seem like I was checking up on her. Well, I was checking up on her.
"Let's get our suits," Sarah suggested, returning from refilling her glass with some red drink Jill had concocted.
"Where's Evan?" Sarah asked as we made our way to Jill's room.
"Not sure," I answered. "He went to get a drink and then to look for his shorts, I think. I guess he'll find us."
Sarah knocked on the door.
"Who is it?"
"Jill, open the door. It's Sarah and Emma."
The door opened cautiously with a pair of eyes peeking through the crack. Sarah rolled her eyes and pushed the door open, making the girl behind it stumble backwards. There were several girls in the room, adjusting their bathing suits and double-checking their appearance in the mirror. Sarah grabbed her suit and began changing, not caring who saw her. I waited my turn for the bathroom. I had never been comfortable changing in front of anyone, even after years of being on sports teams and having girls change in front of me without a care. I usually had too much to think about, like where my bruises were and who would see them. Now I supposed it was just a habit that I couldn't quite break. Before I left the bathroom, I examined my back one final time to make sure the scarred striations were barely visible. There were only a few of them where the belt had cut deep enough to leave a scar, but they were still there, even after a year. I convinced myself it would be too dark to see them, and besides, I'd be in the water. I emerged wearing a white bikini top with orange polka dots and shorts covering the striped bottoms. I secured my hair high on my head to keep it from getting wet and folded a towel over my arm. I wanted to ask Sarah if the marks were noticeable, but I didn't want to draw attention to them. Instead, I pulled a tank top on until we were in the dark. I followed as we were led out of a sliding door onto a private deck. The deck wrapped around the back of the house where the hot tub was letting off billows of steam into the cool April night. It had rained most of the day, so the wood was wet and cold under my feet. I didn't have the numbing power of alcohol to make me oblivious to the cold like most of the girls. There were already 4 or 5 people in the hot tub. I noticed Evan was one of them, and next to him was Annalise. The predictability of that was nauseating. Worse than that, sitting next to her was Drew. I stopped abruptly. One of the giggling girls behind me bumped against my shoulder.
"Sorry," she said as she passed.
"Oh, shit," Sarah breathed from beside me. "Where did he come from?"
Evan caught my eye and smiled, then saw my face and shrugged dismissively. If he could get over it, especially after having gotten into a fight with Drew last year, then I could too. The tightness in my stomach indicated otherwise. I stripped off the shorts and tank top and slipped into the water. The heat of the water instantly warded off the goosebumps that had erupted while walking across the cold deck in my bikini. I waded across to the other side and slid next to Evan. He draped his arm behind me. The water foamed and bubbled up over my chest as I sank into it, relaxed by its warmth.
"I like the suit," Evan leaned over and said into my ear. I grinned.
"That's right," I noted. "You've never seen me in a bathing suit before. This is actually the first time I've worn it." We'd gone to the beach a couple of times last summer, but I'd still been in a cast. I'd ended up wearing shorts and a tank top since I couldn't go in the water.
"We'll definitely be going to the beach this summer," Evan smiled.
I couldn't help but look past him at Annalise, who was watching us, her eyes darting away quickly when I caught her. And I knew Drew was watching as well, with his elbows out over the sides and a beer in one hand.
"Hey, Emma," he said, raising his bottle in the air.
I nodded with a small smile before looking away. Sarah was across from us, talking to Jill and Natalie. She called Annalise over to join them. Annalise couldn't refuse, and I knew Sarah had done it on purpose. Thankfully, a few more people entered and sat between Evan and Drew. This could not get any more awkward.
"I think I need to convince my parents to get a hot tub," Evan said,
running his hand over the top of my thigh, causing me to inhale quickly, though no one noticed. They couldn't see under the water.
"They can put it out by the pool that we never use."
"That's right," I've never actually seen your pool uncovered, I replied, taking hold of his hand that was teasing the inside of my thigh. My face couldn't have been any redder, but that wasn't noticeable either in these conditions.
Evan?
I scolded under my breath, squeezing his hand.
Sorry, it's the bikini.
He defended himself with an amused grin.
It's too tempting.
He leaned over and gave me a soft kiss, his wet lips sliding over mine. It was brief, but enough to incite a stutter in my chest. I almost forgot we weren't alone for that one second. Then I opened my eyes and saw Drew over Evan's shoulder and sat up a little straighter.
Annalise isn't watching you anymore after that, Sarah said lowly.
I hadn't noticed that she'd moved next to me.
You're making it steamy in here.
She laughed and nudged my knee with hers.
Did everyone see that?
I asked her, suddenly very aware of the number of people around us.
No, just those who shouldn't have been watching.
I let Evan keep his hand on my knee, and I refrained from kissing him, despite how tempting it was as the moisture clung to the smooth, sharp lines of his face, down his straight nose and over his slightly parted lips. I had to keep reminding myself that we had an audience, even though the steam made it difficult to see across to the other side. His thigh brushed against mine, and my breath faltered. He squeezed my knee, and I looked up at him.
"This is torture," he said, leaning in closer. "Maybe we should get out of here. My parents aren't home."
My heart fluttered, and I smiled.
"Really?"
"Really,"
he said, his breath tickling my lips.
"Let's go."
"Okay," I said, biting my lip, wanting to lean in a little closer to taste the water running over his mouth.
"You go first. I'll meet you by the door."
He leaned back, and I had to gather myself for a moment before turning toward Sarah, who was talking to a girl on the other side of her. "I'm going to leave with Evan," I informed her. "I'll text if I'm coming to your house, okay?"
"If," she stressed with a knowing look. "Water too hot for you?"
"Something like that." I grinned widely, standing up and moving toward the steps. I couldn't look back because I knew my thoughts were transparent, and no one needed to see what I was thinking.
"Leaving?"
Drew asked from behind me as I wrapped the towel around my chest, the heat from the hot tub evaporating into the cold, damp night. "It's getting kind of crowded," I answered, barely giving him a glance.
"Did you get your sweater? I left it on your porch."
Yeah, thanks, I said vaguely, catching sight of Evan approaching behind him and hoping he hadn't overheard Drew. Drew noticed Evan as well and said,
"It was good seeing you again,"
before walking through the sliding glass door that led into Jill's parents' bedroom. "See you in a little bit," I told Evan over my shoulder before heading toward Jill's room. I gathered my clothes and entered the bathroom, my heart beating so fast I was lightheaded. I tried to take calming breaths, but I was too nervously excited. My phone fell out of my pocket when I picked up my jeans. The red light was flashing to indicate I had a message. I picked it up from the floor and slid my finger over the screen. The excitement drained away instantly when I saw the missed call and voice message from my mother. I entered the code and listened to the recording.
"Emily? Emily, you there?"
Her words were slow and barely audible.
"You with him? Fucking. You are."
Then there was silence. She was a mess. My stomach flipped and my jaw tightened. I wasn't sure if I wanted to scream or cry. Instead, I took a breath and shut it off. After I'd dressed, I went back out onto the deck to find Sarah.
"Are you going to stay here tonight?"
"I think so," Sarah replied. "Why?"
"I was going to take my car," I explained. I had driven so that Sarah could drink.
"No problem," she shrugged and then smiled. "Details." I forced a smile, knowing there wouldn't be any details to share tonight. I found Evan at the front door holding our jackets. "A change of plans," I told him, more crushed than I could stand.
"What's wrong?"
Evan questioned in concern.
I'm not feeling all that great, I explained, my pulse quickening with my fabrication. I think I'm going to head home instead. Evan's eyes tightened in uncertainty.
What?
I faltered, recognizing he wasn't buying my illness. I think I need to go to bed. Maybe the lack of sleep is getting to me.
You were fine a couple minutes ago, he countered skeptically. I don't understand. Did something happen?
No, I said, a little too adamantly. Evan arched his eyebrows. I'm sorry, I'm tired, okay?
No, it's not okay, Evan replied. I know there's something going on, but if you're not going to tell me...
Evan, I swear, I just really need to go home, I explained softly, my eyes large and pleading. Evan nodded with his lips pressed in a straight line. Talk to you tomorrow? My stomach clenched as the disappointment resonated on his face.
Text me before you go to sleep, he requested, leaning down to barely brush my lips.
He stood at the door, watching me rush to my car. My stomach was nauseous with the lies I'd spewed, especially since I knew he'd seen right through them. I'd have to deal with that tomorrow. I gripped the steering wheel tightly, now focused on finding my mother. I tried calling her, but it went to voicemail. I decided to start at home and then go from there. I didn't have Sharon's number, but maybe I could find it in my mother's room. I wasn't sure where else to look after that. Maybe Jonathan would know. I didn't call him. It was 11 o'clock. It wasn't late. But I didn't want to involve him if I didn't have to. If I could fix this myself, then I would. My thoughts continued to race, and my stomach churned with worry all the way to my house. When I saw her car in the driveway, I released an anxious breath. I pulled in behind her and noticed the driver's door was still open and the front tire was on the lawn. When I got out of the car, I could hear chiming, indicating the key was still in the ignition. That's when I realized the engine was still running. I looked around the car, confused. My heart pounded. I shut off the engine and closed the door. Then I spotted her, sprawled motionless on the top of the steps with her head and arms splayed on the porch. I rushed to help her. She didn't have any shoes on, or a jacket, for that matter. I knelt down beside her to see if she was hurt. Her knees were scraped and bloody from the fall, and there was a bump on the top of her forehead where it was pressed against the porch. I collided with her alcohol-saturated breath wafting in the breeze within 3 feet of her.
"Mom!"
I sat on the top step and lifted her head up. "Mom, you need to get up." I tried to roll her so I could prop her up to sit. She groaned, but otherwise she wasn't moving. I leaned her into me in a seated position.
"Mom! Rachel!"
I raised my voice to sound more commanding.
"Wake up! Let's go! You need to go inside, then you can sleep all you want."
I shook her shoulder, but nothing. I tilted her head toward me, and she threw up. Before I could turn her away, the warm liquid was running down the front of me and soaking into my jeans.
"Shit!"
I exclaimed, leaning her toward the side of the stairs as she heaved again. She didn't wake up, even after vomiting all over me, herself, and the stairs. I looked down at the sour, potent mess. My throat tightened in disgust and my stomach rolled. There was no way I was going to be able to carry her. She was dead weight. I could have dragged her in, but then what? I couldn't leave her covered in puke in the foyer. It appeared I'd reached my last resort. 28. To the extreme. I sat on the steps and waited for him to arrive. I was tempted to unroll the hose to spray us and the stairs down before he got there, but I had no idea where it was. I was afraid to leave her alone long enough to change and get cleaned up, so I just waited. I was trying so hard not to cry when he pulled into the driveway. I was frustrated, sad, even a little angry that I was in this predicament. Oh, yeah, and extremely humiliated.
especially when I saw him emerge from his truck in a suit. Oh, shit, I murmured when he neared. You were out. You had plans. Jonathan, I am so sorry. I shouldn't have called you.
Yes, you should have, he countered without hesitating.